but you still knew that one day I will come your way. How many can testify? I know it ain't gonna be but a few of us, but I know there's somebody in here struggling with something right now, and you've been trying your best to deal with it on your own. You've been trusting and believing in God, but he hasn't come in your direction yet. But can I talk to you? Will you still hold on? Will you still just hold on? And do you believe that he will show up one day? Go ahead. Here's the last word I give you. He cast off his garment. Jesus said, what you want me to do? He said, I may receive my sight. Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And here is the word that we're going to stand out and leave on immediately. Not next year. Not in a couple months. But immediately. You know what God was telling this blind man? You've been in it long enough. You've suffered long enough. You've shared too many tears. You've had too many lonely nights. You felt forsaken. You felt overlooked, but this is your day. Immediately, you've been in it. Now I'm getting ready to bless you. How many are waiting on God to say immediately? And when he says immediately, that means right now. That means it's over. That means you can praise God. But listen, I don't have to wait till he say immediately. I just trust that he will say it. Until he says it, I'm going to keep on praising him. I'm going to keep on lifting him up. Because I know one of these days is going to be my day. Is there anybody here that's by the roadside that's willing to cry out as loud as you can and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me? Can I ask you a question? Won't he do it? Won't he make a way? Won't he come into your situation? Somebody ought to be praising God right now, because he's getting ready to do something in your life. He's getting ready to give you that breakthrough you've been praying for. He's getting ready to lift you up. You've been down long enough. Tell your neighbor, I've been down long enough, but today is my day. Jesus, thou son of David. Somebody is telling on your pew, telling you to be quiet. But why don't you shout out the highest praise? Hallelujah. Jesus, thou son of David. Give God a hand clap of praise. His cry was passionate. His cry was personal. His cry was persistent. And immediately he received his sight. Can you imagine the first face he saw was Jesus' face? And when I get to heaven, y'all, I know y'all want to get there and find your loved ones, and you should. But when I get there, I just want to look at him. I just want to sit down with him and say, I heard so much about you. Thank you for everything. Don't you know that we are going to be able to see him face to face? I can't wait. I'll never forget when I first saw my first movie star. I was 10 years old. And I grew up watching Dallas. My mama loved Dallas, and I grew up watching Dallas. And one day, Bobby Ewing, Patrick Duffy, came to the Alexandria Mall. Mama said, I'm going to take you to go. And I also knew him for Man from Atlantis. Mama said, I'm going to take you to see him. On the way there, I was just like, man, I'm going to see this guy. I'm going to see this guy. And then when I saw him, he don't look like he do on TV. Because he didn't have all the makeup on. I was looking to see Bobby Ewing, the man. He just didn't look right. And I was kind of disappointed, because my anticipation was way up here, and then when I saw him, he didn't, oh man, ah. But when it come to Jesus, I won't be disappointed. He's gonna have hair like lamb wool, eyes like balls of fire, feet the color of polished bronze, and the sweetest voice you would ever hear say, welcome home. You've been faithful over a few things. Come on up high, son. I'll make you ruler over many. Give God a hand clap of praise because he's worthy. Remember, let your cry be passionate. It can be personal. It has to be persistent. The doors of the church are open. You may come at this moment. As the man waited on the roadside, it could be your day to cry out. Jesus stops and look at you. He's standing on the porch of grace, outstretched arms of mercy, saying, whosoever will, let him come. He loves us so much that he died upon the cross, went into a cold grave, and on the third day morning, he got up with all power in his hand. And if you're here this morning, these deacons are here with outstretched arms. If you're fearful, just step out in the aisle and they'll come get you and you won't have to walk alone. I'm calling you, Savior. God bless you, son. Savior, why don't you hear my humble cry? And oh, why on others thou art calling, Master, do not pass me by. God bless you, my sister. Come on. And I'm calling you, Savior. Why don't you hear my humble cry? And oh, why on others thou art calling, Master, do come on, not pass me by. Come on, let's sing. We know the song. That's the old school. I'm calling you, Savior. Do like the blind man did. Savior, why don't you hear my humble cry? And oh, why on others they are calling, yes they are, Master, do not pass. Can we sing it one more time? Can we sing it one more time? Come on. Oh, I'm calling you, Savior. Yes, I am. Oh, Savior. Why don't you hear my humble cry? And oh, why on others are calling, Master, do not pass, Master, do not pass, Master, do not pass me by. Give God a hand clap of praise.
This is radio station KAYT, Gina Alexandria, 88.1. Gospel Radio, serving all of Senla at 88.1.
Welcome to the media ministries of the Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, pastored by Reverend Joseph Garner at 1210 MW Harrison Street in Leesville. Now listen to the message already in progress by Reverend Joseph Garner.
disciples turn to John 3 and 16. Let's give our choir another hand. God bless you, choir. Praise his name. Jesus is his name. Hallelujah. John 3 and 16, familiar passage of scripture. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God bless you. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Father, we thank you now for this preaching privilege. We pray, God, that you will speak a word into our hearts and into our minds, a word that will remind us that you are God and you're God all by yourself. For this we thank you. For this we give you praise. And now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O God, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. Amen. If y'all don't mind one more time, I know you got your phones and your Bibles in your hands, but please put those hands together one more time for our great and wonderful God. Hallelujah. I want to talk for just a few minutes this morning from the subject Christmas Lunyap. All right. Amen. Christmas Lunyap. And I know that a lot of you are not from Louisiana and you don't know some of the South Louisiana, amen, the language, but Christmas Lunyap, that's what I want to talk about. Thank you, ushers. Amen. Amen. Christmas celebrates this awesome and amazing fact that is grander, it is wiser and more mysterious than anything we could have ever imagined. That is why the church, believers in particular, must keep telling the Christmas story. Y'all, we've got to keep singing the Christmas songs, and we've got to keep on living the Christmas spirit, because it is the hope and the message of Christmas that helps you to stay glued together when life sometimes is falling apart. Do I have a witness this morning? When it seems sometimes that the fabric of life is unraveling or has become frayed, it is the depth of the meaning and mystery of Christmas that keeps the garments of our lives from being ruined. The awesomeness of Christmas has nothing to do with the season, but y'all, it has everything to do with the Savior. Tell your neighbor, nudge your neighbor, say it ain't about the season. Oh, yeah, it's about the Savior. The Savior. The Savior. It is the Savior that meets us when we're bruised. It is the Savior who meets us when we're broken. It is the Savior who meets us when we're battered, burdened, and bewildered. It is the message and hope of Christmas that keeps you anchored and stable when things are often unstable, when stuff gets shaky, when stuff seems like it's crumbling all around you. Thank God for the hope and the message of Christmas that reminds us that the ground on which we're standing is not only holy ground, but it is stable ground. Thank God for the message and the hope of Christmas. The world spends a lot of time preparing for an observance. And if the truth would be told, many of us in the church, amen, spend a whole lot of time preparing for a Christmas observance. Amen. It's hard not to with all of the commercialism and the stuff we see on television. Sometimes we get caught up in what's happening, amen, in New York and what's happening in Los Angeles and the parades and the Christmas tree that's brought from Seattle or wherever it's brought from. We get caught up in lights and all of that. But we as the church have to be careful never to forget the central meaning of Christmas. It is the birth of our Savior. It is the birth of the newborn King, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Tell your neighbor, it's all about Jesus. It's an experience of knowing that the Christ child that was born in Bethlehem has come to be born in us. And now our hearts, in a real sense, have become spiritual mangers. Oh, think about the manger that Christ was born in down in Bethlehem. You know, if there were any animals in there, there was a lot of mess in that manger. And I would venture to say, and I will be a witness by myself, that a lot of times in my heart is a whole bunch of mess. But I'm excited and I'm rejoicing as we approach Christmas, because Jesus the Christ has chosen. He has made a decision in spite of my mess-ups, in spite of my mix-ups, in spite of my dastardly ways. He has come to set up residence in my heart. Am I by myself this morning? Is there anybody else who has to admit that your heart ain't the cleanest place, that your heart is not a perfect place, that every now and then some bad things come up in your heart? Amen. There are two or three folks sitting in church on Sunday morning, but if the truth would be told, it's some ugly stuff in your heart right now. But in spite of me, Minister Phillips, Jesus has made up in his mind that he has come to be born in my heart. And I'm rejoicing every time I think about the fact that he looked beyond my faults and he saw that I needed him in my life. And I've got to praise him. I've got to tell him thank you, because without him, I would be nothing. Without him, I would fail. Give him praise in this place today. He lives in us. He lives with us. And so for the believer and the church, all of the Christmas presents in the world, no matter who they came from, no matter how much they cost, no matter how big or how small they are, all the presents aren't worth nothing without the presence of Jesus Christ. Somebody ought to give him praise right through there. There are multiple and meaningful definitions of Christmas. But I ran across this one, and this is where I got the title of this message from. This definition, it's really applicable in a secular sense, but as I thought about it, it also has a deep spiritual application. And the way I saw it defined in this magazine, the writer said that Christmas is doing a little extra for somebody. You know what you ordinarily do, what you normally do throughout the year. Amen. But at Christmas times, you know those kids been bad. You know they ain't been good all the time. You know, amen, amen. They've been plucking your last nerve and all of that. But yet, because it is Christmas, you decide to give them some lagniappe. That's what lagniappe means, a little something extra. Amen. And that's what this writer defined Christmas. He said that Christmas is doing a little something extra. And y'all, that's exactly what God did for humanity. He had given us, look at this, he gave us a world in creation. He gave life to Adam and Eve. He created a garden for man to live in. He put a sun in the sky for daylight, moon and stars in the sky for nightlight. He had given Israel a name to be his people, a nation that stood above other nations, kings to rule them, prophets to teach them, commandments for them to obey, priests that interceded for them in special ways, miracles that affirm him and bless them. But then, y'all, God did a little something extra. He went beyond what he had already done. He gave us an event in time and history that we call Christmas. He did something extra. He did more than he had done. He gave more than he had ever given. And y'all, that's what Christmas is all about. Christmas is doing a little extra for someone. God did something for everybody, not just for someone, but for everyone, if you have faith to believe it, if you're willing to confess it. And so our text again today declares, in my opinion, that Jesus Christ is the greatest gift. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. So I want to place at the entrance of your hearts this morning, and I want to place at the entrance of your minds this morning, why I believe Christ is the greatest gift. Oh my. And I hope that in days to come that it will speak to you. Please don't forget it. And I thought about it. I thought about maybe I need to explain my preaching style so that some folk, amen, can understand that whenever I stand to preach, for the most part, I'm going to give you at least 3 points. Amen. And if you don't do anything else, you ought to make note in your cellular phone, your smartphone, or on a piece of paper. Write down the passage. Amen. Write down the points, because I don't want to be the kind of preacher who's just preaching just to be preaching. My hope and my prayer is that when you leave this place, you've got enough word in you that on tomorrow, when you get on your job or when you get with your friends, you can give them a message about Christmas. Hallelujah. Bless his name. So Jesus Christ is the lanyard that I want to talk about, this gift that we call Jesus Christ. And I want to tell you why he's really more than a little something extra. As a matter of fact, Jesus is the greatest gift. Do I have any witnesses today? The greatest gift, the greatest gift. Now, I know some of y'all are going to have pictures on Facebook. Amen. Some ladies are going to have a new car with a big bow tie on the hood. And some brothers are going to have a new truck with a bow tie on the hood. And children are going to have new games and all that kind of stuff. But I hope at the end of the day on Christmas that every believer affirms with Pastor Garner that Jesus is the best gift. Y'all, I'm about to shout by myself. He's the best gift. He's the best gift. 3 reasons why he's the best gift. Number one, he's a global gift. For God so loved the world. It was not a gift just given to Mary and Joseph. Not just given to the Jews. Amen. Not just given to that region of the world, Jerusalem, Galilee, Judea, Samaria, and the surrounding communities of the Middle East. Christ is global. How do you know it, Pastor Garner? I know it because while I'm preaching about him right now in Leesville, at the same time, there's somebody in Mississippi preaching about him. There's somebody in Minnesota talking about him. There's somebody in Missouri preaching about him. There's somebody in Massachusetts talking about him. And while we're talking about him in the United States, there's somebody in India talking about him. There's somebody in Africa talking about him. There's somebody in Brazil preaching about him. It's a gift that reaches you, watch this, wherever you are. I said wherever you are. Now, some of y'all didn't shop through there because you forgot some of the places you've been. See, everybody didn't meet Christ at church on a Sunday morning. If we could have testimony service right through here, I guarantee there would be one somebody that could stand up and say, Pastor, I was in jail. I was in the jailhouse, but a preacher came through and talked about Jesus who died and gave his life and shed his blood. Is there anybody glad to know that he will reach you wherever you are? Oh my, you're not here today because you've lived the model life. You're not here today because you've demonstrated flawless